Welcome to Mark and Friends for August 7th, 2025. I'm your friend Donna Leland, and today we bring along our Bible guide, Carolyn Eastfold, who has been so diligent to be studying on our behalf, and now she's ready to deliver more. We're going through the names of God, and she is settling on one of my favorite names, and that is El Shaddai. Thanks, Carolyn, for joining us on Mark and Friends.
Thank you, Donna. It's fun to be here, and it's a privilege to talk about these wonderful names of God with you.
Amen. So let's get started. Where do we find the first mention of El Shaddai?
The first mention is in Genesis 17, but before that, I have a question to ask you. Do you know what your name means?
I do. It means lady. What does your name mean?
Well, mine means womanly or free spirit or joyful, which is what I really like.
Yeah.
I looked up yours and mine, and I noticed that the name Donna's popularity seemed to have peaked in 1959, but mine's was even earlier. It was in the 1940s. So that's... And then when we named our kids, we paid attention to what their names would mean. David means beloved, and Jonathan means gift of the Lord, and Philip means loyal or free-spirited.
Oh.
And so that's all. It's fun. But why do we want to study the names of God, the names that he has revealed to us about himself? And so I want to start with, why is that important? And again, we'll go back to Proverbs 18:10 that says, "The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe." And then in Isaiah 50:10, it says, "Who is among you who fears the Lord, who obeys the voice of his servant, who walks in darkness and has not light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God." So I think it's important that we know these names that God has revealed about himself. And in biblical times, a name revealed a person's character. So we have Israel's history is given to us in the Old Testament, and as it went along, God revealed his character through these various names. And so in knowing his names, we know him better. Mm-hmm. And that's my prayer, that by knowing him better, our mm-hmm. faith will grow, and then we will all be transformed by that.
Mm.
So in the past weeks, if you remember, we've talked about Elohim, which means God the Creator, El Elyon, which means God Most High, emphasizing his sovereignty, and then El Roy, the God who sees, showing his watch care and concern over each of us. And remember, El Roy was a name that Hagar had called on in
yes.
her time of trouble when she and her son Ishmael were kicked out of Abraham's household. But today we're going to continue with the story of Abraham. And back in Genesis, the first use, as you said, if you'd read that for us, Genesis 17, 1 through 8.
It says, "When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, 'I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between you and me and will greatly increase your numbers.' Abram fell face down, and God said to him, 'As for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you, for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God.'"
All right, thank you. So that passage is known to us as the Abrahamic Covenant, and it really is a crucial scripture both to the Jewish people and to Christians, because we see God promising Abraham this physical land, many, many descendants, and that his family will be a blessing to all the nations. And of course, we know that blessing comes through his descendant, Jesus Christ, our Savior. But also in this passage, we see that Abraham's name is changed. God changes Abram's name to Abraham, Abram meaning exalted father, and then he changes it to Abraham, the father of multitudes, which must have been kind of embarrassing to someone who didn't have any children yet. But he also said, in verse 15, he said to Abram, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah should be her name. I will bless her, and indeed I will give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be the mother of nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. So God also changed Sarai's name, and that meant my princess, personal princess just for her nation. And he named her Sarai, which is a general term meaning princess to the entire world. And then he promised that she would be the mother through whom the blessings would come. But the most important name we see here is how God identified himself. He said, I am God Almighty. And in Hebrew, that is El Shaddai.
Mm.
And as we've talked before, the first part, El, is a word meaning powerful. It's a word used for God. And they don't really know what the root word Shaddai comes from, but they know that El Shaddai together means God Almighty. So whenever we see God Almighty in Scripture, we know that that is El Shaddai. He is the all-powerful, all-sufficient one. God used that name also when he was speaking to Jacob. Another time when he was speaking to Moses, he uses that name many times in the book of Job, again in Ezekiel, and then several times in the book of Revelation. So the idea that's expressed in the name Shaddai is one of great power, but it's not of violent power. It's of the ability to be all-providing, all-sufficient. It's like a nursing mother is to her baby. She can give that baby all that it needs to quiet him, to provide the proper food, to give fresh nourishment and life to that child. She is all-sufficient to this baby. So we can see the connection between this and our El Shaddai, who pours himself out for us, providing all we need, giving us new life, and even sacrificing himself for us. He is enough.
Mm.
But how often do we stop and think like this? If only.
Mm.
If only I had this or that, or if this circumstance were different, or whatever we think we need to be satisfied. We stop and reflect on that for a minute. What are some things we thought that we needed? I'm sure we can all think of something.
Yeah.
What are some things we tried to do in order to reach that satisfaction? And then now think, did those things really satisfy me? Maybe they did for a while, but probably not for long. But El Shaddai is different. He is all-sufficient. He is enough. That name, El Shaddai, was considered by the patriarchs as being God's covenant name. And as we read in Genesis 17, El Shaddai was making an eternal covenant with Abraham. And he, God Almighty, has the power to keep those promises. He has the power to pour out his blessings on his people. What if God were good, but he was weak? What if he was beautiful, but he had no power? He might want to bless us, but he'd be unable to do so. What if he were only a God of good intentions? Would we trust him?
Mm-mm.
Would we want to pray to him?
Mm-mm.
So look at the contrast between those images of God's nature and the reality of who God really is, El Shaddai, God Almighty, the one who has the power to keep his promises. So I thought we should look at some of those promises. There's many, many in the scriptures, but I just pulled out a few. So these promises he makes to us, Romans 8:31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things?
You know, I think sometimes, Carolyn, do we really believe that? If God is for us, who can be against us? I think sometimes we question whether or not God is really for us. And I just really hope for our listeners that you've settled that question. He is for you. He loves you. And, you know, like you're talking, Carolyn, that he wants to provide and sustain us.
All right. He does. In John, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand.
Hmm.
And I hear my friends sometimes when they are getting older or they're facing death, and they begin to doubt, you know, well, do I really have eternal life? But here Jesus said, I give it to you, and no one can take it away.
Mm-mm.
No one can snatch them out, you out of my hand. And then John 14, Jesus is saying to his disciples, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Another wonderful promise. And then in the same chapter, John 14:13, Jesus is talking about prayer, and he said, whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, so that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now, of course, Jesus was not saying that he's a magic genie who will give us anything we want, but when we pray in Jesus' name, we are praying according to the will of God. We pray for what will honor and glorify Jesus, and he will grant that. But people may be thinking, wait a minute, my life isn't going well. I don't feel like God is blessing me. I don't feel like he's providing for me. He's not meeting my needs. Or even we can start to think, how can God possibly be good to let this tragedy happen? And we know that this is true, that we live in a world that was broken by sin. And so there's another consideration for us to think about, is God's ability to bless his children in spite of the circumstances. Think about the life of Joseph in Genesis. He's a good example. His life didn't seem to be going well. He was kidnapped. He was almost murdered. He was sold into slavery. He was separated from his family and his home. He was falsely accused of rape. He was thrown into prison. And yet, in spite of all this, his resilience was amazing. He was just like a inflated ball that you're trying to push down underwater, and it keeps popping up to the top. But he just kept rising to the top, no matter what was pushing down on him. His faith remained strong. And he's a good example for us that nothing can prevent God Almighty from carrying out his plan and pouring out his blessings on the people who belong to him, even when there is pain, confusion, struggle, and difficulties. God Almighty, El Shaddai, can even use those to bless us as long as we keep trusting him. I've heard, I'm sure on the radio, our tests become our testimonies. So let's bring this down to even more personal level, because sometimes it's easy for me to believe in God's power on a grand scale. He created the universe, he loves the world, he's reigned through the centuries, but it's hard to believe him for situations in my own life. So just a couple examples. What does his promise-keeping ability do for the promise he made about helping us to resist temptation? You know, in 1 Corinthians 10:13, it says, no temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, so that you may be able to endure it. So does that mean we turn into ourselves to solve the problem?
Mm-mm.
Because I've tried that, and it doesn't work out well.
Me too.
Or does it mean to turn in faith to the all-powerful, almighty God, the only one who is able to help us find the way out? So the next time a person is tempted, what they need to do is call out to El Shaddai, the one who can sustain and bless you and show you that way out.
I'm thinking about temptation, Carolyn, and see, we're tempted, I think, to reach out and meet our own needs. That's what that temptation to me is always about. It's like, you know, I'm feeling empty, so what's my go-to? Banana split. Or I'm mad at someone, and so I want to take it in my own hands to maybe do some retribution towards them. So it's just like, we have a need in our life, which is normal. We're human. But how am I meeting that need? Am I going in my own strength and my own wisdom, or am I going to trust the Lord to give me the satisfaction and to be the righteous judge? So that's kind of the thinking on my brain, that now I need to call on El Shaddai. You can supply me with what I need. That's what I'm hearing you say.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. Well, then there's this all-time favorite habit people have of worrying. So what does El Shaddai mean in the case of when we're worrying about something? Sometimes we almost feel like it's our obligation to worry. Like if we don't worry, we don't care, right?
Yeah.
But that's not how God sees it. I turned to Psalm 91. That was a psalm that lots of people during COVID turned to. Verse 1 says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And so that is what we're to do. Go to him, my refuge, my fortress, my God in whom I trust. And what does God promise in response? In verses 14 and 15 of that same psalm, he says, because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high. Because he has known my name, he will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue and honor him. There's a quote from the director of Heart Choices Today. She's also on with Nancy DeMoss, I think, sometimes. Dawn Wilson is her name, but I like this quote. He invites us to call on him in prayer so that he can show us great and mighty things. We can trust him because he is trustworthy. He is our solid rock and hiding place, our deliverer and protector. We are wise to love and trust him with all our heart, soul, and mind. The Lord says, come to me, because he knows his power and provision will lead to peace of hope and of praise. I thought that was powerful.
Yeah.
So how, no matter how tough life is, no power in heaven or earth can stop God's plan for us as long as we follow him. I like to write in graduation cards, stay close to the shepherd, because that's what you need to do, stay close to the shepherd. Mm. God has made an everlasting covenant with us, and he can show his strength in us and for us when we are at our weakest. He is El Shaddai, our mighty God.
El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erakum Kana Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through your love and through the ram, you saved the son of Abraham. And by the power of your hand, turn the sea into dry land. To the outcast on her knees, you were the God who really sees. And by your might, you set your children free. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Erakum Kana Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through the years you made it clear that the time of Christ was near. Though the people failed to see what Messiah ought to be, though your word contained the plan, they just could not understand that your most awesome work was done through the frailty of your son. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, come, Kana Adam. Shaddai, Erakam Kana Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai.
We've been enjoying the ministry of Carolyn Eastfold. She is our Bible guide and walking us through the name of the Lord that he has chosen to reveal himself in. Today's name is El Shaddai. Thank you so much, Carolyn, for spending time and giving us this insight.
Thank you, Donna. It is a joy to be able to share these wonderful thoughts of our Lord Jesus with you and with your listeners. My privilege.
And thank you, dear listener, for sharing your time with us here on Mark and Friends. If you ever miss a Mark and Friends program, or you hear a program and you think, I'd love to share that with someone, well, you can. Just go to our website, click on the Mark and Friends tab, and you can see all of our past programs waiting right there in an MP3 format. That makes it a lot easier to share, and you'll be able to give that link to someone, and they'll be able to come on and enjoy the program again. That's the wonder of technology. It's never a one and done. We can always go back and revisit Mark and Friends. Hope you have a terrific day. The Lord bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you, and may he be gracious to you. We really appreciate your partnership in this ministry. We are listener-supported Christian radio, and we're here by the grace of God and the grace of your giving. Thanks again, and have a great day.